Now, Aaron is with us for a kōrero today, and I just honestly, when I woke up this morning, I thought of people sleeping on the streets. Then I heard a thing about our Prime Minister, Chris Luxon, who didn't know that there was no night shelter in Auckland. And then when he's grilled about that by Chloe Swarbrick, who is the MP for Auckland Central, he couldn't talk to the issue. All he could talk to was, you had your chance to fix it, you didn't fix it, you know what I mean? You guys had an opportunity, you didn't do anything about it, blah, blah. People are very quick to dismiss or knock the other team rather than face up to the realities confronted by so many people who are sleeping rough, and this morning will be icy, just as our cars are as we get up to go to work. Aaron Hendry is with us, founder of Kickback, a youth homelessness advocate, community leader. Thanks again for joining us, Aaron. Tēnā koe.
Thanks for having us,
mate. Hi, mate. I know it sounds like a stuck record, but today's the coldest day so far this year, and you can't help but think of those who are sleeping rough in the city. And in the middle of winter, cars, doorways, on streets, and then you've got these politicians who seem absolutely blind to these people's realities. What do you make of that, Aaron?
Yeah, look, mate, same as you. Like, I woke up, I'm inside right now and I'm freezing, you know, and I woke up feeling quite concerned and worried, distressed about, you know, our whānau sleeping outside, our kids, you know, children that, you know, Kickback meets who are as young as 13 sleeping outside because they've got nowhere safe to go. And look, I think it's really important that if political leaders want to make decisions that impact on the lives of our most vulnerable whānau and friends and children, that they actually understand the reality of what they're going through. And when we talk about homelessness, we've been kind of talking about it as if it's this kind of thing over there, but the truth and the reality is that homelessness is extremely dangerous. It is life-threatening. It has impacts on a person's life, both in the present but also in the future. The traumatic impact, the physical and the mental health impact, these things can, if you survive an experience of homelessness, can be with you for the rest of your life. And it is a crisis, and every single political leader in Parliament should be united on one fact, that we should be putting everything we have into ensuring that no one in this country sleeps outside. We can actually end this issue, but we just do not have the political will in Wellington to do it.
What about this night shelter situation, Aaron? What can you share about it, or lack of? Now, I know that the city mission does its best to support those who are carrying a kore, but why don't we have some sort of ACOM, even if it's just a sleeping pod or something? How do other cities deal with the issue, and what could we do as a city? Just take Auckland as an example, Aaron.
Yeah. Look. I mean, the fact that if you or I, our whānau, our kids, ended up in a situation where we had nowhere to go, and then, you know, very likely might have to sleep outside, like that is actually deplorable for any, you know, any country, any city, any society, right? You judge a country about on the way that it treats its most vulnerable people. And right now, the way we are treating people in this country is deplorable. We should be really clear on that. Look, I personally don't believe night shelter as a concept is the right way forward. Night shelter kind of historically is, you know, you have a place for a night and then you go back onto the street. That, you know, that sustains homelessness. It doesn't prevent it. It doesn't end it. But we do have models. We do have services that exist already in our city here in Tāmaki, where I am, that if the government resourced them and funded them, would be able to provide the solution. So, you know, immediate housing services are the way forward. They are services that provide immediate access to people experiencing homelessness, a real safe place to stay. And you can stay there as long as you need to until we provide you with the support you need to get into stable and long-term housing. And, you know, we think about the youth concept right now. There's only two services that is youth-specific immediate housing in the city. Kahui Te Kaha do an amazing program called Pete Mata. It's a gold model that could be used, that the government is aware of. They could scale that, you know, immediately, and it could roll out across the country. Very similar model. Kickback works with Massey Community Trust, and we deliver a model called the Safety Net, which is a host home model, which is empowering local communities to be the solution to youth homelessness in their community, and supporting young people to go to a safe host home where they can stay immediately. without needing to jump through 1,000 hoops. So we do have solutions. And if we invested in them, we could ensure that in the city, in our cities across the country, that if you needed somewhere to go tonight, you could access it. But at the most basic level, there's a mechanism within working income right now that could be utilised to prevent homelessness. And that's this concept of rough sleeping. And that's this concept of emergency housing. Look, it's not something we want long term. It's not something that should continue in terms of people living in motels. But at the very most basic level, we should be removing the restrictions on emergency housing, rolling back the emergency housing policy that the government put in place, because it's very clear that when the government tightened the gateway, as they say, into emergency housing, more and more of our people ended up sleeping outside as a result. We saved huge amounts of money at the cost of huge amounts of suffering and harm towards our people.
There are interesting concepts that you've raised. One of my, a guy I know, fell on hard times and ended up, he was seeking ACOM, of course, through Kayang Order, but he wasn't prioritised. He was only prioritised when he was living on the streets. And so he had to endure that, then report to WINS and say, I'm sleeping in my car. They gave him emergency housing. He said it was rugged. Like, and he's a knockabout, yeah. So you know, he says it was pretty damn rugged. And, of course, he's found himself into a one-bedroom unit in one of those six-storey Kayang Order blocks out in the south side. And life is just so much better. It seems like you've got to be scraping right at the bottom of the barrel and just can't find anywhere else before anyone will even listen. How real is that? You know, you've got to sleep on the streets in order to get some support because you won't get it knocking at the door of WINS.
Yeah, look, the way we think about homelessness in this country has to change. For too long, we've had a narrative that people experiencing homelessness are in that situation because of some personal moral failing of their own. The truth is that homelessness is a direct result of a system that does not prioritize the basic human rights of people. People experiencing homelessness have slipped through almost every crack that we have in our society. It is a result of a system, you know, formed under capitalism, a housing system that prioritizes, you know, the profits of landlords over the basic human rights of you and I, right? So we actually need to look at the systemic reasons why we have homelessness in our society and recognize that actually it's our own collective failure that enables a situation where your friend, the young people we meet every day, end up sleeping outside on the street. Something that Kickback has been pushing for, and I know that many of my colleagues in the sector are doing the same, is for the government to introduce duty to assist legislation, right? So this was trialled in Wales, and it basically was a form of legislation that would shift the power dynamic. It would make sure that we understand that homelessness is a collective responsibility to respond to. So if you or I or your mate turned up at Work and Income and we said, look, I'm at risk of homelessness or I'm experiencing homelessness, you know, that public service would have a responsibility to do everything it could do to prevent you from experiencing homelessness and then provide whatever immediate support you needed so you didn't have to sleep outside. And then it would have an obligation to continue supporting you until you were in safe and stable long-term accommodation. And what this would do was shift this balance of responsibility from the individual to the collective. It would also clarify that there is a duty to refer. So if you're a health agency, if you're an NGO, if you're any organization that is serving people who have any form of vulnerability, you've got a responsibility to refer people to support. You'd be referring them into MSD, who would then have a responsibility to provide the support they need. We'd be working together to close those gaps. At a structural level, we need to change the way that we think about this issue and the way that our systems respond to it. Because right now, it is actually deplorable that people walk into Work and Income at times, they ask for help and they cannot get it. And it's really important that when we have these conversations, it's really easy to just throw stones at the public service, right? The reality is public service settings are set by governments. Governments make decisions. They put forward the values that they want to see in the public service. And those are the things that get let out. And we've had this whole conversation this week around, you know, targets and whatnot. But let's be very clear. The government made the decision to close the gateway to emergency housing. They made the decision that they wanted to reduce people emergency housing without providing the support, the resources, the access to stable or safe accommodation. at the same time. And so what we're seeing in our country right now is the direct result of government decisions that have impacted our community and is causing huge amounts of harm to our people.
You speak so well of the situation. For those of us listening in today, you know, how might we be able to help? I was intrigued with your kōrero, and I don't disagree with anything you've said, Aaron. I actually wish you and your whānau well, because you've been working in this tough space for a long time here now. But this safe host home immediately, safe host home, how's it being utilised, and are there people putting their names forward to do just that and to help somebody for a night?
Yeah. Look, we've been working with a small local grassroots organisation called Massey Community Trust. They do tremendous work and running a pilot out in West Auckland. And look, it's been amazing. It's been amazing to see whānau put their hand up and say, look, I can do something about this, to see the kind of connections and relationships that are built, to see young people being able to just feel safe and not have to rush or worry about, you know, where they're going to go tonight. And, you know, in some cases, in the best cases, just having that safe place, especially for a young person, just to think and to stop and to, you know, to settle, actually provides an opportunity for reconciliation with their whānau to happen. And in some of the best stories, we see young people going back home, which is exactly what we want to do where we can. In terms of like what we can do, and if it's something you're interested in, you know, look us up on Instagram or Facebook, Kick Back, Make Change, send us a message, and you know, we can get someone in touch to have a chat to you around that. Look, in terms of what people can do, another thing that's happening this week is the Move On Orders submissions are closing. And if you haven't heard about the Move On Orders, basically the government, in the context of everything we're going through right now, in the context of the dead of winter, where homelessness is escalating across the country, the government is deciding to implement Move On Orders, which are cruel and dangerous and will result in people experiencing homelessness being criminalised for the crime of having nowhere safe to live. Just think about that. That is just beyond ridiculous, right? And if you're as angry, upset and distressed as I am about the fact that instead of providing housing and support for people, we are threatening people with criminal charges for having nowhere to go, then you can have your say. And it's really important that the government hears from you on this. It's really important that every political leader hears from you on this. Submissions close at 11:59 on Thursday. It's not too late to have your say. Just go Google Move On Orders submissions and, you know, let the government know what you think about this and tell them what they should be doing. And really simply, we have a solution to end rush sleeping in our major city centres. It is very simple. We house the people. We resource public housing, we resource immediate housing services, we resource outreach services, we do whatever we need to do to ensure that none of our elders, none of our whānau, none of our children have to sleep outside. It is not beyond believability that we can end homelessness in this country, but we will not do it by punishing the people who are the victims of the system we have created to abandon them.
Tēnā koe. I think we might have to do some work to counteract the impression that many people have that homeless people are bedraggled, unwashed, of dubious character. And so hardly lining up to offer safe haven in their whare. But that perception needs to be challenged, because that might be some of the streeties, old-timers that you do see. But so many aren't at all like that. How might we work on counteracting that sort of, and I know it's a generalisation, but that perception of people living on the streets?
I guess I just encourage people to think of someone you love. Think about your auntie or your uncle or your granddad or your niece or your nephew or your son or your daughter. Think of people that you care about. And then just imagine a not unforeseeable reality where some really hard things happen in their life and they can't get access to somewhere to stay. Mm. Think about what you would like to happen in society if that happened. You know, if you and your family ended up in a hard time, you know, you lost your job, you got evicted for no fault of your own. You know, your landlord just wanted to develop their property and now you got nowhere to go and your whānau can't help out because, maybe they're just in a similar situation. What would you like to happen for you and your kids? I tell you what, the way the system works right now, I don't trust it with my own children. It's not a system that I would want to interact with if I was in that situation. And if it's not good enough for my whānau and it's not good enough for your whānau, then why is it good enough for any of us? And so I think we just got to humanize this conversation. We're talking about human beings. We're talking about people. We're talking about our friends and our whānau. Mm. These are not people that are over there. It's us. And whatever system that we accept for someone else, we got to accept it for ourselves. And right now, we're not doing a good enough job.
That's good talking to you. Thanks very much, Aaron. You paint a very real picture of the hardships that this time of year is throwing at us and what we can do about it. Aaron Hendry from Kickback, thanks so much for your time today, brother. Tēnā koe.